Sharing is a lot of fun. Talking is a lot of fun. Giving is a lot of fun. Receiving is a lot of fun. But the most fun of all is that whenever I have something to say, I say it carefully, lovingly, and clearly so everyone can understand it. It's so easy to talk fast. It's so easy to get excited about what I'm saying, to say everything I'm saying is so important, I have to say it as fast as I can while I have the attention of the people. And of course, that's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. If I want others to learn how to speak precisely and slowly and directly to me, I have to learn to speak that way to them. Now, how do I learn to do that? Do I learn to do that by paying attention to what other people do? No, that would never do. Because if I did what other people do, I would be in the same rut. I would be in the same problem, because the tendency for all of us is just to talk too fast and to talk for our own pleasure, which is, of course, what we should be doing, but not with consideration of who's listening or what's being said. And many times we say difficult things. We say words that are not clearly understood, and when someone says, "What was that?" we repeat the whole sentence instead of repeating what was difficult to understand, because we don't find what we said difficult to understand. So we just repeat the whole shooting match, and then we come to the phrase that was difficult to understand, and we say it maybe doubly fast because we're familiar with it. But we want to be very careful, because it's not how much we say, but how well we're understood in what we do say. I have to remind myself that too, because it's so easy to get to talking, and it's so easy to think that what you have to say is important and people should listen, whereas it really isn't. We had a conversation with this young man that I told you about, who wanted to build this beautiful house, who wanted to become an architect so he could design the house. And as he was talking to me, I was like a horse, you know, chomping at the bit, wanting to say something that was in my mind. I wanted him to tell him that I went through high school and college working for my dad building things. I wanted to tell him that my dad was a building contractor, and he built beautiful homes for beautiful people. And I wanted to tell him all sorts of things. And when I was able to just be quiet and be gentle and let him talk, I found out he wasn't at all interested in anything I had to say. He was merely interested in saying what he has to say. He was interested in having an audience for his ideas and his comments. And of course, that's fine. Now, did I need an audience for my comments? I shouldn't have. But the tendency is to want to put your two cents in there, to show that you have something of interest also, that you are in the same area or something like that. If you can make another person feel good by allowing them to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about, and you can keep your mouth shut when you may have written the book about which they're talking. And if you can keep your mouth shut, it's not something to be proud of. It's just something to be trained in. Because really, what difference would it make to him that you wrote the book? What difference would it make to him that you built the house that he admires so? What difference would it make to him any of these things? What difference does it make to you? Do I need the credit to tell him, "I'm the guy that was building that house that you're admiring so, you know? I'm the guy that did this. I did this. I did that." And you see, it is hard not to say that. It's hard not to be part of the conversation. But when we can train ourselves not to feel that we have to tell our two cents, or that we have to show how good we are, if we can train ourselves not to have to do that, then what happens to us? what happens to us is we feel a deep sense of satisfaction, not because we didn't say it, but because we didn't need to say it. And to not need to say something that would bring you a great compliment, oh, you like the Empire State Building? I designed it, you know. Can you shut up? I mean, the guy got mucho money for designing it, and he had the joy of designing it, and he had the fantastic qualities to do the design. Does he need every Tom, Dick, and Harry's approval? Or what would you say? Does he need everybody's compliment for having done a good job? If he does, he doesn't really think he did a good job. Can you stand in a crowd of people and have them admire something you did and not say, I did that? That's tough. That's real tough. Because what that crowd of people is doing is saying, boy, the person who did this is wonderful. They're fantastic. They're marvelous. They're great. And someone might say, he or she did that, you know. And that's okay, but even that you don't want to do. You don't want anyone creating you getting credit for anything. Because if you get credit for anything, then what you're doing is you're begging for compliments. Now you see, it's just a fact. It's just a fact I built that building. It's just a fact I did that thing. But can we sit back in smiling repose and be untouched? Not needing the compliment, not needing the praise and the approval. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not human nature to do that. Human nature is to say, you like what I did, huh? How about that, you know? And get the comment in there somehow, you know. You like what I did. You think I did a good job. Well, if we ever have to do that, we didn't get the satisfaction out of doing the job. Can you imagine the builder of the Empire State Building? You know the Empire State Building. Can you imagine the builder of the Empire State Building all of his life standing outside the building saying, ah, you know? He would say, sir, why are you ahing at that building? The Chrysler Building and others are even more glorious. I built that. You did, old timer. You don't say, you know? Well, you did quite a feat for your day, but today it's even more. And hey, old timer. And he'd be an old timer. Hey, old timer. How did you bring these girders up to the rafters, and how did you do those things? Why do you want to know? Well, I figure if you can tell me how you did it way back when you did it, way back when, then I might be able to figure out how the pyramids were built, you know? Because if you did these wonderful, strange, and good things with mechanics, perhaps the pyramids were built that way, you know? But it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to stand in the aura of your praise and not let people know that it is you that is being praised. But it is one of those things, and it is one of those good things, and one of those things that we can all learn to bear with. Because as Faith and I were talking to this young fellow, I wanted to tell him so many things. And rather than doing that, I just complimented him and said, you know, you really are a very brilliant young man. You really have a lot going for you. You are a very thoughtful person. Just because you weren't in school for a while, you didn't give up on it, you know. You're going to go back and finish it. And you're amazing. You're wonderful. And his chest was out there a mile. And why should I take any of the glory from him by saying, those are things I like too, and those are things I do too? Because for us to sit back and not need that, it's a big step. And it's a wonderful step. And it's lots of fun. So, it's time now to do the dishes for Ingeborg's dishes. She's the only one who ate tonight. All the rest of us were on the juice diet. And so then you have a lovely evening and do beautiful things. I love you.
Love you.